Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. What a beautiful day God has blessed us with. And today it'll be autumn. It's hard to believe. But I'm ready for it. I'm ready for grass to quit growing.
Yes.
Good to see everybody this morning. Let's remember all these on our prayer list, and anybody has any updates, please let me know. At Providence Place, Katie Hensley and Mr. and Mrs. Lovers, let's keep them in our prayers along with Brother Jimmy Mabry at Diversity Care. Johnny Moore, Brother Perry Moore, has recovered from his blood thinner problem, and that's a good thing. So let's continue to pray for him. Dale and Tina Adams update in Texas this week for evaluation. And MK, congratulations to MK. She was selected Magna Heights Homecoming Court. She's a sophomore representative and daughter of Carl Koff and granddaughter of Richard and Sandra Koff. And I know they're proud, and we are too. Also, A.J. Myers of Homecoming Court as a junior representative at McNally College. We're proud of A.J. also. Remember to turn in the new directory information. If you haven't done it, there's some more forms out there in the foyer. And if you could, go ahead and fill it out today so we can get this completed. Gospel meetings in the area. Independence Church will start today. And they'll have a service at 2 p.m. this Sunday afternoon. Also, Monday through Wednesday at 7:30. Tom Waycaster will be the guest speaker there. Also, October 4th through the 7th at Nazareth Church of Christ has a meeting with Terrence Brownlow Dindy.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what happened.
It'll begin at, it'll be 7 p.m. Monday through Wednesday each evening. And I've got one more thing. Tom would like to talk to the men after church for a brief meeting about Orphan Sunday. We've supported them through the years, and Tom wants to talk to us about that for just a few minutes and after service today. Anybody else have anything else? If not, then a service and song.
Good to see you this morning.
Yeah.
Let's open our song books to number 657. 657. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing without bells or ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the supernal one, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless eternal one, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with our bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
would stand. And after this song, we'll be led in prayer by Brother Bill.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Pure in heart, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will most lovingly. Be Thou my friend and guide. Let me with Thee abide. Keep me from secret sin. Bring Thou my soul within. Pure in heart, help me to Thee.
Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we have to gather together to worship You, Father, as Your church here at this place, to honor You and thank You for all the things that You do for us every day. To gather together to remember Your Son, who You loved us so much, sent Him to this earth to die upon the cross for our sins, and to teach us, Father, the things that You'd have us to know, that You have so graciously given us through Your Son a chance to be with You in the eternity. Yeah. Thank You, Father, for all the spiritual blessings that we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for the church. For the church that meets here in this community, Father, we pray that You will help us to always be here, to always strive to do Your work, to be a shining light in this community. Help us, Father, to do Your will here in this place. Thank You, Father, for the health that we have, that we can be here this day. For those that are sick and recovering, Father, we ask You to bless them in such a way that they can regain their normal walks in this life. And for those that are shut in, Father, we ask You to comfort them this day. Father, we are so grateful for the physical things that we have in this life, for the blessings that we enjoy. Father, we realize that All of these things come from you. Help us, Father, not to only enjoy them in our lives, but to share it with those that are around about us. And Father, help us to glorify your name through the blessings that you give us. Amen. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to live in a country as we live in. For the freedoms that we have, Father, we thank you so graciously. And Father, we pray for the men and women that watch over this country and help us to have the freedoms that we have for the men and women in the military. That you protect them, Father, and keep them from harm's way. Thank you for the first responders that are working so hard through this pandemic. And Father, we ask you to bless them and their tireless efforts. The doctors, the nurses, the policemen that go to work every day not knowing that their lives will be spared even for that day. We ask you to bless them. Bless the leaders of this land, Father. Help us, Father, to not to look to our own selfish means, but to those that are around about us. Help our leaders, Father, to look unto what's good for all men and not just for a few. And help them to realize, Father, that the power that really means the most is the power that comes from you. We ask that our leaders will look unto you for our help and for guidance. Help us this day, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And help this to be a day, Father, that it will give us the strength to do your will and to do your work throughout the rest of this week. Help us, Father, to always strive to do your will, to study your word, to learn to be better Christians in your kingdom. Yes. And Father, we realize that in our lives that we err, we miss the mark, we sin. Help us, Father, to overcome our weaknesses and to forgive us, Father, for the things that we might do. Help us to be justified in your sight. Bless this service this day, Father. We are thankful for Brother Robert as he'll bring us a message. We're thankful, Brother Tom, for leading our songs this day. Father, bless us in such a way that we as willing participants will have a mind that's concentrated on you, Father, and on the things that we're here to learn. Watch over and care for us, Father, as we know that you will. Help us to love each other more every day and you above all things. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 51. 5-1.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. With
26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can gather around this table to remember the death of your Son upon the cross for our sins. Fathers, we partake of this bread, which represents the body of your Son that hung on that cruel cross for us. Help us to take our minds back to the cross and for all of the things that it has been for us. Help us to partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed upon the cross. Help us to examine ourselves, Father, and partake of this, and a manner be pleasing to thee, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion having been completed, we now have opportunity to give back to the Lord for the work of this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you bless us so much every day. And we realize, Father, that these blessings come from you. Help us now to give back a portion of what we have earned, Father, to further the cause, not only here at the church, but to help those that even around the world. Help us to give with a cheerful heart for these things we ask.
We have 22 present this morning. Today is September 20th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 692. 692 will be the song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 528. 528. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make fully whole. In sorrow he's my comforter, in trouble he's my strength. He takes me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my grievous has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed
as we talked last week in regard to the conversion that we need to make to Christ Jesus, we also recognize the fact that there are times in our lives beyond that day that we sin, we've done wrongs, and we find ourselves wondering what God's Word says about how to come back to Him. And fortunately, the Bible gives us not only the words, but also examples. In the book of Acts chapter 8, we realize that a young man whose name was Stephen who was himself a magician, a sorcerer, found himself seeing something that when the apostles arrived there in that region, and they laid hands upon these individuals that they might receive the Holy Spirit, it was the case that once again he wanted to see this power in his hands. And as a result, it would enhance the work that he was doing and the kind of deception that he was guiding. If he had the real thing, he could really do some time. And so we read here in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now in verse 20 of Acts chapter 8, at verse 20, But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord and returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. It is the case that we read here in regard to this man desiring to have the power of the apostleship. You see, Peter and John had come down this way and they laid their hands upon these various brethren. They had received the baptism that they had in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in receiving that baptism, they had received the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had promised that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. When he noted regarding this matter, that they would receive this power once they were baptized into Christ, they would receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and verse 38. So they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they had not received the indwelling power of this Holy Spirit, and this was given to them by the apostles. As they saw this being done, they all recognized this happened, and Simon, when he saw verse 18, through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He had obtained money and a wage for what he had been doing through the years. And as a result, he thought that he could advance them some money, and it would be the case that they would gladly hand over to him that same kind of power. But Simon Peter said, no, this is more the gift of God. It's more spiritual thing that's involved here in this matter. And your heart is not right in the sight of God. He told him to repent and be baptized. No, not go back and be rebaptized, but to repent and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. It is the case that returning to the Lord requires of us to turn away from that wrongdoing that we're a part of and turn back to the way of the Lord in prayer, and forgiveness of the Lord will occur. That matches up what we read in 1 John 1, beginning of verse 4, We who in the fellowship with the Father and the Son, when we sin, it is said in verse 9, when we sin, we can confess our sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we find ourselves thinking about things that are not right and not worthy to be thought and not practicing that way of life, then it is a case that we find ourselves in need of repenting and prayer and returning to the way of the Lord, returning to what He wants us to be and do as we go. Now, when we find ourselves doing that in life, we find ourselves sometimes looking at what extent that wrongdoing may have upon the brotherhood in general. And we'll get on to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in just a minute and see that the whole church itself can be involved in this matter. And as a result of that, perhaps it will be a public confession that will be made. When we find ourselves wrong, and in a matter of being in this open way, as Simon did, he before them all said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me." When he was told that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, he was told that he was away from God. And as a result of that, he would suffer the eternal consequences of the judgment of being away from God. He did not wish that to happen. To his credit there in Acts chapter 8, Simon was a man who was serious about the mistake that he had made, the wrong that he had done, and he wanted everybody to be recognizing the fact that I want you to pray for me that none of these things you said may come upon me. Returning to the Lord in his righteous way is the only thing that we should do. We should not go on in life thinking that this thing will be forever forgotten. Since we have forgotten about it, perhaps it will be forgotten by the Lord. When in fact the Lord knows us all and knows all of our ways and knows that his word has taught us that this is what should be done. When we have found ourselves baptized into Christ, we have the gift of the Spirit of God that comes upon us. The gift of God is set forth to be a wonderful thing to be in our lives, but not with the power to do the miraculous that they were able to do when the laying on of the hands was being done. They would have power to do those kind of things that they could not do otherwise. When we find this power, we find a public way of doing things, and this was needed to be recognized in a public when he was to repent and pray God that the thought and intent of his heart be forgiven him. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read where the brethren found themselves in some kind of circumstances that were not right. They were fellowshipping a man who was living in incest with his father's wife. He was being fellowshipped with the brethren. And as a result of that fellowship that they were enjoying together, it was a case that he was to change that way of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, there is notification that they found themselves in this particular matter, telling the right things of God and repenting before the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 7, beginning at verse number 7, we see the following. "And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told you of your earnest desire and your mourning and your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with the letter," he's speaking of the letter that he wrote in 1 Corinthians to them, telling them that they should not continue to fellowship this man, they should turn him over to Satan, that he may realize what he's done and repent, come back to the ways of the Lord. This was not the right thing for them to do, fellowship him and leave him the impression that everything was in good dwelling with them, good shape with them too. And so the letter, he says now, that letter that I wrote to you for made you sorry. But notice what he says about that letter. His intent was, by his heart's desire of writing this letter to them, was not to give them the idea that they were to be down forever and a day, but that they were to realize that particular matter was for a season. He says there in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season." I didn't change my mind about that letter so much as I changed my mind as I was writing it. Paul says, "As I wrote this letter to you, I wanted to make you sorry about that. I wanted to make you sorry just for a season, but it wasn't so sure that it'd be just for a season that they would have it. But they did have it just for a season, just as he had received, had given it to them." And he says, "Now, verse 9, I rejoice that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, and ye might receive the damage by us in nothing." We didn't want to damage you eternally. We didn't want to damage you for the rest of your life. This was something that ought to be done because it was a godly sorrow that we was teaching you. And notice that they had received it that way, and they had begun their change of life, their repentance. They had turned from those things that they were fellowshipping and honoring. 1 Corinthians is filled with sordid situations that the brethren at Corinth were doing. They were people who were not doing righteous ways of worship by God. They were not honoring the Lord's Supper as they should. And as a result of that, they needed to repent, as well as this fellowship of a man who was in sin with his father's wife. So it is the case that they had a godly sorrow now. And he says in verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." You'll never be sorry that you recognize that wasn't the right thing to do, that wasn't the right thing to have done, and you repented of it. As a result of that repentance of it, what happened to their lives? "But sorrow of the world worketh death." If they had had a sorrow that was of the world and they had not repented, they were just sorry that they had done this, sorry it had come to light, sorry that it had been said to them by Paul in a letter to them, then they would have never had the idea that I need to change toward God, because this is the idea that Paul is writing to them about. Change before God. And so make it a godly sorrow that leads you to repentance, not to be repented of. That is, you don't change your mind because you change your mind toward sin. You change your mind and you had a godly sorrow that led you that way. He says in verse 11, "For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did not for this cause that ye have done the wrong, nor that the cause that ye suffered wrong, but that for our care, for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we were for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." You see, Brother Titus had gone there to work with them as well. He had honored this letter, had been received while he was there. He noted the way that the brethren read the letter and accepted it. And they accepted it as a godly sorrow, meaning we need to repent of this. We need to change our way of doing this thing as a congregation. We need to change this way. And thus they did change that way. And Titus had brought back the report to Paul that was the case. And Paul said, "I was comforted by the fact that you now had comfort." You know, when they were doing the wrong things, there were times perhaps in their lives that they began to think about, should this be done? After all, it is said regarding the man who lived with his father's wife, that even the Gentile people in that city did not do that. They had to see that their friends who were not practicing membership in the church would not approve that was the way of conduct to be done. And they bothered themselves about it. Instead of being comforted in it, now they are comforted in the fact that they've repented about that matter. They have sought change to be done. And we'll read a little bit later in the book of 2 Corinthians that this brother also recognized where he was. He recognized his need to change. As a result of their letter, the letter that was written to them and their encouragement to him, that was the case. Notice it is said here in verse 14, "For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. Paul was so grateful that these brethren had received this message in such a way that they were called upon to repent, and that's what they did. How do we turn to God? How do we do that? Well, individually, like Simon, we need to pray and repent and pray that the Lord may forgive what we've done and how we've done, especially if it's well known among the brethren. If it's a private thing and a personal thing and it's one of those secret sins that we sang about a minute ago, others are not aware of that. And we can make ourselves right with God as we pray even every day, because we find ourselves thinking about those things that were not done right, not done righteously, not done godly. So we come back to God. What do we have ultimately when we come back to God? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, "We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Notice that he says, "But we have made manifest unto God, and I trust also to be made manifest in your conscience. And we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion of glory on our behalf, that ye may also have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." You can see this was done from the heart. You've done seriously, and as a result, returning to the Lord. Do we have anyone here today that needs to return to the ways of the Lord? Because of that, in repentance and prayer, it can be done. And it can be making an individual's right before God and a righteous way of life to be lived every day. You can do that as we stand together and sing this song of encouragement softly and tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Sitting on the portal, he's waiting and watching for you.
That song, the music of it, as well as the words of it. He lived up in Detroit, Michigan. He was a well-respected gospel preacher up that way. And when the renowned student in the religious world, Mr. Dwight Moody, who was well known before the days of Billy Graham and others in that particular work, preached everywhere in all his ways, he came to visit Brother Thompson when he was in the hospital at his time of his death. He was going to die there. And when he came in to see him, he knelt at the bed and he said, Brother Thompson, calling him Brother Thompson. He said, I had rather written softly and tenderly than anything else that I have done in my years of preaching. That's quite a thing to be said for this song, is it not? By one who was a noted man in that way. May God bless you as you so enjoy this song and enjoy this way of thinking about repenting and coming back to the ways of God. If you ever get astray, it's time to do it right then. God bless you.
Turn to number 97.
Encamped along the hills of life,
ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world.
This day we could come and worship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be with Brother Robert, a good lesson he brought us this morning, our song leader. Be with the one that especially needs our prayers, the one that's sick, the one that's lost loved ones. We come back to the next point in time. We ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.